I mentioned a couple of times we're going to be focusing on Psalm 92 this morning, so I'm just going to read that psalm to you. The words will be up on the screen, or if you want to find the passage in your Bibles, I will read Psalm 92. It says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourished, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" In a couple of moments, Phil's going to come and share from us, and particularly, as he mentioned earlier, he's going to think about being a tree from those last few verses. And just kind of in preparation for that, we're just going to watch a video, listen to a song by the Rend Collective.
"You're the sheep." Jesus tells us that on many different occasions. And of course, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." "You're also a living stone being built into a holy temple for God." That's in Ephesians and in 1 Peter. "And you're also a tree," as we've already mentioned, according to a number of passages in Scripture, including Psalm 92 we've read this morning. Which is great, isn't it? But what does it mean? What does it mean? I entitled the sermon this morning, just as a working title, "How to Be a Tree." Because like all metaphors, it's only any use if we actually understand the thing we're being compared to. So when Psalm 92 verse 12 says, "The righteous will grow like a cedar of Lebanon," well, what's a cedar of Lebanon like? Well, there is a cedar of Lebanon. You can probably just make it out. Very, very tall. So in what way are we, the righteous in Jesus, like that tree? Well, many years ago, I was given a card. And on the card were some reflections by, I'm probably going to pronounce his name wrong, Naji Abi Hashem of the Lebanon, a Lebanese Christian. And he'd reflected on the cedar, which of course he sees around him all the time, living out there, and come up with five things about the cedars and thoughts of what they mean as we seek to emulate that as the righteous. And we're going to reflect on that a little this morning. So the first thing he picked out about the cedar is evergreen. As I'm sure you know, deciduous trees follow a cycle. They bud usually in early spring, the leaves and the flowers come. By the height of summer, they've got the full foliage. And then gradually, as the colder weather comes, they begin to turn. The leaves go brown, they die. The winds blow them to the ground, and by winter, the tree is bare again. Not so the evergreen. The evergreen tree, always fresh, always full of life, whatever the season, whatever the weather, as Psalm 92 says. They will stay fresh and green. I don't know about you, but I more often than not feel a bit more like a deciduous tree than an evergreen. It's easy to be fresh and green and full of life when the sun is out, when the presence of God is felt in a particular way, when we feel his love, when we see it in the lives of others, when we're filled with joy and life and faith seem easy. But then comes the winter. And it's cold and dark. those times when God seems to withdraw. We feel unloved. And at those times, we can feel ourselves begin to dry up, to wither, to shrivel like those leaves in the autumn. Maybe even begin to feel like they're being blown away altogether. St. John of the Cross in the 16th century wrote of what he called the dark night of the soul, and many others have picked up on that imagery since. Those times, for a short time or a long time, where it feels like God is absent. Where it feels like there's no life. But many have also borne testimony to the fact that those are often the times when faith grows the most, even though at the time we don't see it. Because when the experience isn't there, but we still somehow continue to stop, we refuse to stop believing that it's true. At that moment, we're like those evergreen leaves refusing to fall in the winter snows and the winter winds, clinging on through the depths of winter, clinging on in faith that the warm sun of spring will eventually burst forth again. It's just come to mind now, actually, possibly none of you will have seen, there's a children's movie called Happy Feet about a penguin. And there has this scene where the penguins are guarding the penguin egg through winter, the male penguins, the females go off to collect the food. And there's a line, something like, "Nobody sang harder than he did to turn the earth and bring back the warmth of spring." And there is that sense, isn't there, in the darkness of the faith that the warmth of spring will come. And we keep persevering through those dark times, like the evergreen tree. Until those times when we regain the sense of joy in God's presence. When we begin to know again that we were loved, even in the darkness of winter. We begin to grow and flourish once again. And that may be a short time. For some people, it's been years and years and years. Teresa of Lisieux, another well-known Catholic saint, went through a long period of this. But she wrote afterwards of how, looking back, she could see how her faith had been strengthened as she'd clung on to the promises of God through those dark times. So the cedar is evergreen. The cedar also grows at high altitudes and opens its branches to the skies. Humanity has this tendency, naturally it seems, to place God somewhere up there. Whether that's because of associations of God with the sun and the moon and the heavenly beings or whatever it is. So people who are seeking God often go to high places. Many cultures build their temples on mountains. Old Testament pagan worship, literally, they called them the high places. Hermits, monasteries, often again up mountains. Partly that's because mountains tend to be quite remote places if you're trying to be a hermit. But there's also that sense of being closer to God in some way. The cedars grow naturally between about 3,500 and 6,500 feet above sea level on the tops of the mountains of the Lebanon. And so they provide this symbol of the righteous being close to God. And so we are called to seek to be in God's presence, to be close to him, to remain close to him, to keep a connection with him, to be in the place where he will be. That may be a physical place for some of us. We may have those physical places where, for some reason that we can't explain, God feels close. And so we go there often to seek him. Or it may be a more a mental, emotional, spiritual, slightly less concrete thing. A way that we can worship, a spiritual practice, a way of being that keeps us close to God in our thoughts, keeps us meditating on him, keeps us thinking about him, keeps us praying to him. Because as those cedars grow on those heights above all the other plants, and all the other trees, and open their branches So as we live on those heights, as we live close to God, as we spend time with him, we will want to open our hearts and our hands in worship. As our psalm says again, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no wickedness in him. That declaring who God is in praise and worship as we draw close to him. Thirdly, the cedar is deeply rooted and can live for thousands of years. The cedars of Lebanon are some of the oldest trees on earth. We looked it up over breakfast this morning, in fact, and found out that the oldest one they think is about 3,000 years old. So it was a sapling when they were chopping them down to build the temple in Jerusalem under King Solomon. There's many of them that are 2,000 years old, so many of them were there when Jesus was walking not too far away. Sadly, when you look into it, a combination of deforestation for the wood, which is actually not a modern issue, it goes all the way back to King Solomon building the temple and those times. The wood has been sought after for building. So you've got that going on. You've also got an awful lot of forest fires, which the Lebanese government is ill-equipped to deal with. They've got other things on their minds, really, than dealing with forest fires. But it means that what once covered 50% of the country of Lebanon is now down to just 13% in terms of the trees, and only 4% of the country is still densely forested. But left alone from human intervention or natural disaster, the cedars will live for a very long time because they've got deep roots that enable them to draw the maximum nourishment from the soil and provide the stability that they need as the winds whirl around the mountains. They grow very quickly, apparently, for about the first 50 years to get that size and that stability to hold them in place. And we too are called to have that deeply rooted faith, planted. The word sort of has that concept behind it of properly, deeply rooted in the house of the Lord. A faith that is not based just on present experience, which, as we've already said, may pass when those dark nights come. But having really thought through and wrestled and accepted the faith that we have. Not seeking to dodge the hard questions, because they always come back in the end. But seeking to reconcile issues with our faith and maybe coming to points where there's things that we know we can't reconcile with our faith. But somehow we have to accept that tension and know that we are living with it and in it. A faith that is rooted in Jesus, who provides that constant nourishment and support and will never let us go. Rooted so that in those times where we find it hard to be on the heights, we cannot feel God's presence, we experience those dark nights of winter, we've still got something to carry us through. That knowledge of who Jesus is and who we are in him. That goes beyond how we're feeling to something deep within us, rooted in scripture, rooted in church community, rooted in all that God has done for us. And as we have that rooted faith, we can live not just the 2,000-3,000 years of the cedar, but life everlasting in Jesus, and a fruitful life too. The cedars bear fruit in old age. They keep growing and they keep bearing fruit. And we too can keep bearing that fruit as our faith is drawing on the nourishment that we have in Jesus. Fourthly, the cedar spreads an elegant fragrance. And if you ever walk through a market, you get it slightly with Saturday market. When I first preached on this passage many, many years ago, I was preaching in Oxford, and there's an indoor market in Oxford that if you just walk through it, if you've been through Trinity Market in Hull, it's similar. If you lost your sight, if you know the market well, you could almost navigate by the smell. You know when you're passing the butcher's shop, when you're passing the florist, when you're passing the coffee shop. And it's the same with plants, if you know your plants, I don't. But you can smell them and you can tell what type of plant it is. And the cedar has a very distinctive and sought after fragrance. So it should be with us. Even if the people around you don't know that you're a tree and can't see that you're a tree, they should be able to smell that you're a tree. What do I mean by that? Well, if the people around you don't know that you're Christian, they should still be able to pick up that scent of the love of God from you. The fragrance of Christ spreading out as we live for Him. Lives that spread love and joy and peace and justice and righteousness. Sometimes if you rub up against a strong smelling plant, you pick up the scent. You can smell it on your clothes. And in the same way as we live that life, spreading the fragrance of Jesus, others will rub up against us and begin to pick up something of that scent. And so Jesus can permeate into situations by our presence there, by who we are, by how we live, as well as by what we do, sometimes more so than by what we do, how we do it, who we are, spreading Jesus with us. And then when people do find out that we're Christian, it makes sense. It fits. We're not a cedar tree that smells like a chestnut. There's a consistency. Actually, yes. Now you mentioned, yeah, actually, that makes sense. Now I can see that the life you've been living, the type of person that you've been, fits with who you say you are and the Jesus who you claim to follow. And lastly, the cedar is precious and expensive. All these things that we've looked at about the cedar are things that we don't have to become. They're things that we are as those who are counted righteous in Jesus. But actually, those first four that we've looked at are all things that we can seek to improve at, we can seek to develop, we can seek to grow in. This last one is slightly different because this is something that actually we can't change. We can learn to accept it more. We can learn to believe it more, and as we do so, that will change us. But it's something that is inherently true about us and our status before God. We've already mentioned the cedars were used for building Solomon's temple, David's palace in Jerusalem, and actually important buildings in many of the major kingdoms of the day. It was the wood to use to build. It showed status. It showed you had money. I did some calculations because I'm a maths geek. So Solomon made a deal with Hiram, king of Tyre. Supply me all the wood that I need to build the temple. And in return, I will give you each year 3,250 tons of wheat and 440,000 litres of olive oil. But today's prices, that's over £4 million a year for the cedar wood to build the temple. And it went on for some 20 years or so they were building the temple. That's how expensive the cedar was. That's how precious it was. That's how sought after it was. And we are precious. We are the tree of choice for God. He has chosen us to build not a temple, well, to build a temple in a sense, yes, to build his kingdom, to be his temple. But there was a cost to that too. It cost him his only son. It cost him Jesus. But he was willing to give him up, to see him die so that he could purchase us, so that we could become his, so that he could take us and he could build us into what he desires us to be. We all of us manage to exhibit the characteristics of the cedar to different extents. Some of us find it easier than others to cling on to our faith through dark times. Some of us are much more readily able to open our arms wide in praise. Some of us just seem to spread the fragrance of Jesus everywhere that we go without even seeming to have to try. But all of us in Christ are counted righteous and are cedars and are precious to God. And so my encouragement to you this morning is to go and be a tree. And not just any tree, go and be a cedar of Lebanon. Go and live on the mountaintop in the presence of God, spreading your arms wide in praise and worship of Him. Go into the winter, if that's what you're experiencing today, into the cold and the dark, clinging on to that faith that God will strengthen you through those dark times. And that when the warmth of the spring comes, and it surely will, you'll find that those green leaves of faith are still present. They're still there on your tree. Go and draw deeply through strong roots from the well of Scripture, from the life of Jesus, from the teaching of the church. Draw that in so that you might live and you might flourish and you might bear fruit for years to come. Go and spread the fragrance of the love of Jesus liberally everywhere that you go, so that other people around you might catch even just a hint of His presence in and through you. But most of all, go secure in the knowledge that you are infinitely precious to God. That His love for you has no end. It is abundant and overflowing. That He has won you at great cost. And that He will stop at nothing to keep you as His precious possession. Go and be a tree. Go and be a cedar of Lebanon. Tall and proud and flourishing with the life-giving abundance of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. I've asked Chris just to leave that final slide up for a moment. It'd be good to take a couple of moments, just in silence, perhaps to go over that, perhaps there's particular parts of that which are pertinent to you that you just want to spend some time talking with God. So just for a moment.